cameras, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Glory.
That's correct. And today, I'm excited. I love heists, so this makes me happy. We are diving into a jewel heist that reads like something out of a Hollywood thriller, complete with a high society victim, a glittering diamond with a dark past, and a thief who vanished into the shadows. This is the story of the Kerp diamond theft, a crime that has left the world stunned and still raises eyebrows decades later. I've always said if I could commit one crime and get off scot-free, it would be a heist. I feel like the planning would just be so much fun.
Yeah, I mean...
It's like I've figured out a big puzzle, like how not to get caught. Do you feel me?
Yeah. I don't know why this is like kind of my perception. Like, I think like... a diamond heist would be so sick, but there's like so much security risk with that.
No, but that's the fun part, is beating that.
Yeah, I think I'd rather like,
my favorite movies, some of my favorite movies are like Ocean 11 and things like that, where they like have to plan all of these things and they get to like, you know, do all these cool tricks and have
I think
cool
I'd rather
gadgets.
Like do like a cash in transit. Like,
oh,
heist.
Wow. So he's there to hijack a truck. I'm there to steal
like
diamonds.
I saw one in one movie called Takers where they were timing the money truck. Mm. And what they did is that they put C4 bombs
what?
Underneath the
That's
road. So
crazy.
You know the tunnels with
yes.
like, so they went and they put the bombs there. And what they do is that they time it, and when the truck hits a specific point, it blows up, and the truck goes underneath. Then they can quickly like kill the guys, unload.
I watched one called Hurricane Heist, where they did a heist during a hurricane. So while the truck was driving, because obviously everyone is focused on the hurricane, not exactly anything else. So the thieves took advantage of. It was actually a pretty good movie. I watched it years ago. But anyway. The Kerp diamond wasn't just a rock. It was a symbol of power, wealth, and controversy, weighing in at a massive 33.19 carats. That's a massive little rock. This Assure-cut diamond was set in a platinum ring and was worn by none other than Hollywood royalty Elizabeth Taylor. But before it adorned her finger, it was linked to a family whose name still echoes through the darkest chapters of European history. So it's got a past. I love that. Drama makes a good novel. Right, so let's rewind. The Kerp family made their fortune in the steel industry in Germany. Oh, I already see where this is going. During World War II, they were notorious for their close ties with the Nazi regime. The family empire was accused of using forced labor from concentration camps, and after the war, Alfred Kerp, heir to the fortune, was convicted at the Nuremberg trials for crimes against humanity, but was released after just a few years. So for those who don't know, basically the Nuremberg trials were kind of like against all the top officials of the Nazi party and stuff who, like, for example, people who ordered killings of Jews and ran concentration camps. It was like for those type of people. So like, because obviously the war was over now, people couldn't just go back to living their lives. People needed to be held accountable.
Yeah.
And so that was the Nuremberg trials. So among the Kerp family's many lavish possession was a certain 33-carat diamond worn by Vera Kerp, the second wife of Alfred Kerp. She moved to L.A. after the war, seeking a quieter life, but the diamond never stopped drawing attention. It was in 1959 when the heist happened. But you see, okay, here's also my thing, right? I feel like heists are not the same than what they were in, like, the past.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. Like, if you think about a bank robbery from, like, you know, like, the 1920s, or like, you know, when they do it in the cowboy movies. I feel like that... No, I'm being serious. But I feel like that has so much more of like a... I don't know what's the word. It has so much like of a vibe towards it than like today. I don't know. It doesn't feel the same.
I get you.
Maybe I just want to be part of a fictional world. Maybe that's my problem.
Maybe.
But like for me, like when they, like for example, when the gangsters of 1920s did the like robbing of banks, or like the criminals, where they went in with like these, I mean, they didn't even cover their faces. They went in with like machine guns, and like they were in coats and fedoras, and they'd just like, give us the money. And they couldn't get caught because they were paying the cop. Like for me, that's like so much more exciting than today's ones.
That's quite interesting.
But it's the same thing. Pirates today are not the same as the pirates from the 1700s.
Yeah.
Still have pirates.
But it's yeah, pirates would be more like a...
Well, they steal. They go after in like the deep, deep sea. They go after like cargo ships that have like lots of stuff on it. I've seen videos on TikTok where those ships have to literally bob wire like the outside of the ships, especially when they have in those dangerous areas, and they have these massive like fire hoses that if anyone comes near, they like have to spray, because those, that amount of water pressure will like knock you off a ship.
That's interesting.
No, it's real. Like it's an actual thing. These ships have to take such cautionary actions to prevent piracy, which you don't think it still happens, but it does.
So yeah, anytime you have shipment that hasn't arrived.
Yeah, maybe from Shein or Temu, you never know.
Yeah.
Although I think that comes on planes, if I'm being honest, not a ship. But it's still a thing. But like, for example, those are not like the pirates, if you think of Pirates of the Caribbean, where they have ships and they were like, you know, dressed in raggedy
looking
clothes.
Looking for hidden treasure.
You get what I'm saying? It's like not the same. Although most of those pirates were also not really going after gold. They were just getting whatever they could.
Yeah.
But anyway. So Vera Kirp was living on a sprawling ranch just outside Las Vegas, secluded, serene, and surrounded by desert. But on the night of April 10th, the peace was shattered. At around 9:30 p.m., two men pulled up to the ranch. They claimed to be lost and asked to use the phone. I would have said no, not at 9:30 p.m. As soon as they were let in, the situation turned violent. The men pulled guns, tied up the staff, and made Vera lie face down on the floor. They demanded her jewelry, specifically the ring of Kirp Diamond. She refused. She said it was stuck. They didn't buy it. Oh, as in she couldn't get it off her finger. My God, they'll cut off your finger. Just give them the ring. No, I'm serious. They'll cut off your finger. Like, do you want to have 9 fingers? That's stupid.
Imagine having to tell their tale.
No, I'm really fine. According to reports, one of the men yanked the ring off her finger so hard it tore her skin.
Ugh.
Within minutes, they vanished into the desert night, leaving behind a shaken heiress and one very empty ring box. The FBI got involved immediately.
Mm.
A diamond that size is virtually impossible to fence, so basically trade, in traditional black markets, because it will definitely come up. Like, it's not something you can just be like, oh, now go sell on the side of the road, there's this gigantic diamond. It's too distinct, too traceable. But weeks went by and nothing turned up. No arrests, no leads, no diamond. Guys, Glory's just showing me a picture of this diamond. This thing probably weighs a ton. That is massive. That's what? That takes up like the whole half of her finger. That's crazy. Go do yourself a favor. Google it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But the Kirp Diamond had other plans. Just months later, an anonymous tip led federal agents to a man named Frank Bowers, a career criminal with ties to organized crime. He had been spotted trying to shop the diamond in New Jersey, halfway across the country. When the FBI tracked him down, they found the diamond stashed in a coat lining. Just like that, the Kirp Diamond had been recovered. Bowers was arrested and sentenced to prison. But here's where things get weird. The FBI had their man. The case was technically solved, but Bowers never gave up the name of his accomplices. And to this day, no one knows who the second man was.
Yeah.
Rumors swirl. Some say it was a mob connection. Others suggest it was someone from within Vera's own circle. Even a stranger. Just a few years later, the diamond showed up on an auction block. But I thought they found the diamond.
What?
Because he had it in his pocket when he arrested him. So how's the diamond up for auction?
Well, that's something.
It's by Richard Burton. I'm not sure who that is, but anyway. He bought the Curb Diamond for $305,000 in 1968 as a gift for Elizabeth Taylor. She wore it often on film sets, at red carpet events, and even during interviews. It was later named the Elizabeth Taylor Diamond to clear the past of its Nazi connections. Oh, wait. They probably gave it back to Vera, and then after she died and, you know, things end up, that's probably what happened. So, but yeah, they renamed it so it didn't have like this bad, like, name
past, attached to it. Yeah.
Which makes sense because...
And it's a good strategy to resell it.
To be
as
fair,
well.
I would want it because of the past, just because it's so dramatic.
Is that the only reason?
Yes.
I mean,
I love things
at
that
that time, you said, at which year was this thing being sold?
1968.
Was it resold? 1968. 350. Was it 350 or 305,000?
305,000. That's a lot. Your
that's a lot of money. If you, because if you convert that in today's times.
Oh yeah, that's millions. No, but here's my thing, right? I think things with a story, with a past are so like interesting. Like my dad collects a lot of historical stuff. So like we have a, I don't know what you want to call it. It's like a little bag and it was used in World War One. By the soldiers, and it has a knife and a fork and a spoon. They're very rusted now. Yeah. And it like folds into this little like satchel thing that you wear, like, and then you wear it like a bag. And like we have a gas mask from World War One.
Yeah.
And we have like medals. Like all of that stuff has history. So I think the diamond is worth more with the history.
Yeah, with the
like,
history.
Like I feel like, oh my goodness, this is the Crump diamond, whatever. Like, oh, like that's, did you hear like the story about how like we're connected to the Nazi? Like, I feel like that creates more people talking about it than just renaming it to like a famous actress.
That's
do you know what I'm
point.
Saying? Like, that's going to cause more controversy and that's going to make headlines more than, you know, renaming it. So I would personally, I wouldn't have renamed it. I think it would have sold for more.
And yeah, because the diamond would definitely be wanted after that.
That, especially for people who are like historical collectors and stuff. Like people in the antiques business will pay truckloads of monies for stuff that has like historical significance. So I don't know. I don't know if that was the smartest move.
That actually, what you just said triggered my interest. Because I'm just thinking, let's say, for example, I went for whatever reason to Europe and made a fake artifact and say this is from my family in I don't know how many years back that suffered from slavery.
No, so I know like everything has to be so carefully evaluated and they have ways of like telling.
Yeah, but no, I'm not talking about necessarily making a diamond, like just some old artifact and sell it as art.
Yeah, people buy anything. But like the real people who collect like the real stuff, like they have background checks and authentic, like no one's business. Like it is hectic stuff. And I think that's why this diamond was so difficult to move once it had been stolen, because it was such a big diamond and it was connected to all of this past. You can't just go to your random pawn shop down the road and expect to sell it. It's because also you're not going to get the money for it then.
Yeah, definitely.
Which also makes me wonder, did they say they caught him in New Jersey? I think they said they caught him in New Jersey.
Like, if you think about it, people...
Yes. He was trying to sell the diamond in New Jersey. I don't know what he was doing, my guy. You should have... You could have made millions. You should have flown to somewhere
people
like Saudi Arabia.
People that are able to, like, undercover, like, sell diamonds are very... Or any kind of jewelry for that matter, are very questionable. Because it's a very risky business. And
100%.
If anything, you could get killed.
No, I definitely think that stolen antiques trade is ridiculous. Like, I feel, especially stuff, I'd love to know, there was so much stuff stolen during World War II because Hitler wanted to make a museum in Germany and basically only all the art was allowed to be in Germany. Anyway, there's so much stuff that has yet to be found. A lot of it was destroyed, but there is so much stuff out there that, like, could pop up in, like, 10 years' time and we'll be like, what? What? Because what they did is they buried all the stuff in these underground bunkers until the war was over so that they could build this museum.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. And then what happened was when Hitler realized he's losing, he actually ordered all those bunkers to be burnt. So they destroyed all that art. They had literally, there's a movie, brilliant movie with George Clooney called Monuments Men. And it tells the story of these guys who were searching for this art.
Yeah.
And when the war ended, they were devastated because they heard that Hitler had said this order. And there was so much art and stuff they hadn't found. But in those bunkers, there were literally bars and bars of gold. There were statues. There was like these incredible paintings that just because Hitler couldn't have it, it's like that attitude, if I can't have him, you can't have him either type of vibe. He just burnt it all to the ground. But it also makes me think, what happened if they missed one? What happened if there's a bunker out there that like is just sitting there full of priceless artifacts? Like, I'd love to know. And you can, fun fact before we tie this all up, you can know something was stolen by the Nazis, art or a statue, whatever, because they stamped everything.
Oh.
So if you turn like a statue over and it's got a swastika, it was stolen by Nazis. If you turn a painting over and it's got a stamp, it was stolen by the Nazis because they obviously wanted to claim everything for themselves. But it's a way to tell whether the art or not was stolen. So I thought it was quite interesting.
Yeah.
But he destroyed so much. It's so sad. So sad how much was lost because of that campaign. But for this story, on the surface, it's a classic crime story. Glamour, violence, and a diamond with a checkered past. But dig a little deeper, and it's a story of the Kerb diamond reveals a lot about how society remembers and forgets. Vera Kerb never fully recovered from the robbery. She died just a few years later in 1967, and Elizabeth Taylor kept the diamond for decades, seemingly unbothered by its origins. And the mystery man who helped steal it, well, he could still be out there, or was, until death caught up with him.
Yeah.
In 2011, after Taylor's death, the diamond was auctioned by Christie's for over $8 million. The buyer, anonymous.
Damn.
Now you see, like, this is where it's like, okay, so who has this diamond now? I mean, it could be anywhere.
Yeah, literally.
It could be flipping on Cuba or, I don't know, in the middle of Rwanda. You'd never know. You would never know.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
That's crazy. So from a Nazi Germany to Hollywood to an unknown vault in an unknown city, the Kerb diamond continues to reflect more than just light. It reflects the shadows of history, crime, and the power of forgetting. Well, I won't lie. I thought this was going to have a little more drama and controversy, but I think the most controversy was just the fact that it was connected to the Nazis.
Yeah.
I was expecting a little more, you know, drama to the case. And like the suspects and stuff. I do think it's weird that someone anonymously bought it. I wonder if, you know, like the person who helped, like told his son, told his grandson, and then they've bought it now. So it ended up with them anyway. That would be cool. You know, like a family, we're going to stay under the radar for like two generations and then we'll buy it.
I think that would be too dangerous for me because I'd be tempted to take it and sell it.
No, but what also could be very dangerous is if, for example, Taylor's estate decided not to auction it. I mean, it's a gamble because if it never gets auctioned, you can never get it back unless you steal it again, which would have been funny.
Yeah.
Stolen twice by the same family. I want to know, for example, I definitely, with these type of things, I always am a little bit convinced there's inside help, like the staff and that, like, how do they know where she was type of thing.
Mm.
Like how they get in. And note to everyone listening to the show, if someone knocks on your door at 9:30 at night and asks to use the telephone, tell them no and don't answer. Just a life lesson for everybody.
Yeah, don't speak to strangers.
But anyway, that has been the Kerb Diamond. Is there anything you would like to add?
Nope.
No, nothing? Well, that is all for this week. We hope you enjoyed. Otherwise, we will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.